Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. The sermon text for today's gospel lesson appointed for the fifth Sunday after Pentecost. I read to you from Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 42. Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." Thus far the text. I invite you to bow your heads with me in prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, your word is a lamp to our feet and our light to our paths, and I just thank you for that. Use it to shine your holy light into our hearts so we can see our sinfulness. And use it to shine your holy light into our hearts so that we see our salvation before us. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord, friends, I drive around a lot, all around southern Ontario and up to Sioux Lookout and down to Georgia, down south to Georgia. And for the most part, the kilometers that I've put on have been uneventful, for the most part. There's been times, though, where I have to say things get a bit dicey. Like that one time where one of those shorter mobility buses cut us off. Ruth and I were driving down this secondary highway when for no reason at all, that we could see anyway, the driver who was right beside us, immediate to our left, suddenly hammered the gas and started angling towards the front corner of our car. Once her bumper had cleared our bumper, she continued on across into our lane and then straightened out. Not sure why she did it. There was no place to ramp off coming up, and she didn't pull over or anything, and we followed her for a bit at a distance, thinking that perhaps she was having a medical emergency or something like that. But she was okay. How do you react when somebody cuts you off like that? Do you get angry? Some people do. Do you wave your fists around wildly and fill the air with colorful words? Some people do. And me, I think maybe I rode motorcycle too long because I didn't really get excited. And when you ride motorcycle, it seems that there's always someone always trying to kill you, so you kind of get used to it, I guess. "Whoa," I said to Ruth, "did you see that?" And my dear wife just kind of looked up from her book and said, "See what?" Now, how about the other way around? Have you ever had to cut someone off? Back before COVID, Ruthie and I were driving along and we were just overtaking this transport truck when his rear tire exploded right beside us. And big pieces of rubber flew away from the truck right away, and almost immediately all those steel bands in the tire started slapping around, still attached to the rim. It was dark and we were being showered by sparks and all sorts of little rubber shreds that were flying everywhere. I accelerated past all of that and pulled up alongside of the cab, honking my horn and flashing my lights and urging him to pull over. Finally I passed him, put him my four ways and started slowing down with him just behind me. It took a bit, but we slowed him down and we finally got him off to the side of the road. And I'm sure that our driver thought what was going on, and he was equally startled as I was when I was cut off by that mobility bus. But he finally did recognize what was going on and pulled over, so he was safe. So maybe we should talk about the battle that goes on over our souls. You might think that our enemy, Satan, is doing everything that he can to cut us off and bring us to harm. You might think that with him prowling the earth, our lives are akin to riding around in carnival bumper cars, that he's constantly taking a run at us and bashing us around. He's not. Certainly the end result of his actions are nothing but sorrow and death. We know that to be true, but our enemy is far more subtle at his deadly craft than to try to kill us by driving directly at us. Think about how subtly he managed to manipulate God's word in the Garden of Eden, and how he tried to tempt our Savior in the wilderness. In both of those instances, Satan just asked a couple of questions about God's authority. Did God really say? And if you are the Son of God, these misdirections were so subtle that we, in our sinful state, with our limited understanding of the depths of God's love, saw no harm in them. They asked, would you rather be a God of your own design? And as we ponder that question, we don't even realize the danger that we're in. Certainly we have free choice. God gave us autonomy when he made us in his own image. But what choice do we have? Choose to do what? Are we free, for instance, to ignore God? Are we free to steal? Are we free to have sex with anyone we want? Are we free to maim our bodies? Are we free to choose death over life? The words that Satan puts before us twist the truth. They're alluring. But God's word gives us definitive answers on these things. He says, no, we're not free. God's word cuts us off. It speaks death to the unrepentant sinner, and it restores life to the believer. Some people call that divisive. The sinner thinks that God's word excludes them from his eternal kingdom. Not true. Sinners are not excluded from God's eternal kingdom. They are welcomed there by the truth of the gospel. God's word always has our best interest in mind. His laws tell us that we're on a path that leads to destruction. They're written to stop us in our tracks so that we don't die. But the gospel is given with that same intent. It's written for our sake to freely restore us to life. But the world doesn't see it. Thus the division. Man against father, daughter against mother, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law, and so on. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. That's what Jesus says. In his household, in his church, anywhere in this world. Even so, God's word remains. Jesus plainly tells us that whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. That is to say, whoever loves a sinner over the truth, they will not receive the benefit of the truth, but instead reap the sinner's accolades and the sinner's reward. But those who have been cut off, those who take up the cross now and lose their lives for Christ's sake, they're found worthy. We've been cut off by Christ. Consider what Jesus says in the sermon text today, and you'll see exactly what that means. He says, whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. You stand for God in the midst of this broken world. And that, my dear friends, by its very nature, is going to be disruptive, inasmuch as God is disruptive. You'll be hated because he is hated, and you'll be shut out because he's been shut out. But you will live because he is life. Not only will you live, but by the simple virtue of who you are now in Christ, you'll convey life, because life is in you. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he's a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he's a disciple, truly I tell you, he will by no means lose his reward. There's no mystery in any of it. Those who actually receive you and the truth of God's word which you bear are blessed by God's intervention, sinner and righteous alike. For even the righteous stumble and are misled. The sinner who hears God's word is blessed when he doesn't reject the truth that you bring. And likewise, so too the believer who has fallen away. When they welcome you into their homes or into their lives, disaster is being averted to the glory of God. Take heart, you who are in Christ. Take heart and be blessed knowing that God is working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. He has intervened in your lives and brought you to safety and now is blessing others through you, by making you his presence in the world. Some will certainly reject the truth of who you are and what you've become. Some will shake their fists at you at rage and curse you for cutting them off. But those who take notice and realize the danger that they're in will see God's true intent and stop the course they're on. They'll be brought to safety and life in Christ. Take heart and be calm about it too. The very same blood that set you apart from this world is the blood that covers you. You're safe in Christ even in the worst of this world's traffic. Remember what Jesus told you in Luke 21:16-18. There he said, you'll be betrayed even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name, yet not a hair of your head will perish. This very same Jesus who cut you off to save you will be your protection to life eternal. May you be blessed in his salvation and know that he is working in your life to build you up as his people. May you be sustained by his blood and strengthened to be a testimony to the grace of God for the sake of those around you. And may those who don't yet know God be brought to safety through you who are faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. And let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you. You did cut us off from death. You made it possible for us to see the course that we were on. And now, in the safety of your blood, we are being called to help our neighbors. Bless us with that message of salvation. Bless us with eyes to see the danger that the people around us are in. And bless us to help them. Help us to be calm in the midst of their aggression and be calm in the midst of all the fearful things that are going on around us. And to drive ahead of them and to help them to slow down and stop and see what it is that is going to bring danger into their lives, the things that will kill them. Bless your word as it goes forth from us, Lord God, that the people who hear it may indeed take heed and be saved. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen. And amen.